Hello and good morning. God is so good all the time, and I'm so glad you come to join us. My name is Pastor Josh Penn, and thank you for planting the seeds of the gospel and saving more souls by sharing this video. We're saving more souls so they would say yes to Jesus forever. So if you would do me a favor, throw that thumbs up, let me know you're here, and also type Jesus forever. Jesus forever, because we want to put Jesus first forever in our life and be hyped up for him all the days of our life. Not just tomorrow, not just today, but every single day we want to commit our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're in for a treat today as we learn about the Word of God. We're going into the last part of the Kings, and then we're going to go into Elijah. And then Elijah is a major prophet of the Lord who did the works of God. Elijah's the one that called the fire down from the heavens and then extinguished the altar. And it's so exciting that the next few passages that we're going to go over the next few days is going to be about Elijah. And he's one of my favorite prophets. So we are so excited to do it. But now we are talking about turning to God in desperate times. Turning to God in desperate times. And we're going to have this devotion based on 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 29 to 34. So during this time, Ahab, he was coming into reign for the northern kingdom. And he inherited a stable government from his father, Omri. And from this point was the end of the first kings. And Ahab, he reigned over the northern kingdom. And he's covered. And he's just like powerful. Unfortunately, this is not because of the significant contributions made by the king, but because of his extreme wickedness and terrible impact that he had upon the northern and the southern kingdom. And keep in mind, the purpose of the scripture is not to give a secular history of these kings, but to show how they and the Israelites responded to God. And so they either lived for God or lived for the world and themselves, and they lived either a holy and righteous life or immoral and wicked life. Welcome, Rip. And so this scripture really paints a spiritual lesson for every single one of our generation, our people. It paints a picture for us how exactly we should live a holy and righteous life before God. And although Ahab's evil reign for 22 years is one of the major subjects remaining in the First Kings is like, how many verses left, chapters left? There is 17 to 22, that's for 5 more chapters. And so, even though it's one of the major subjects, the present passage really lays down a groundwork for his wicked and degenerate life. Under his evil reign, and the depth of spiritual decline was reached into the nations. So there were seven terrible evil committed by Ahab, which is spelled out by the scripture. And so it's going to be right here as we look into 1 Kings chapter 16 to 29. Let's read the word of the Lord. In the 38th year of King Asa of Judah, Ahab, the son of Omri, began to reign over Israel. And Ahab, son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria for 22 years. And Ahab, son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in sin from Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and he took as wife Jezebel, daughter of king of Ethbaal of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. Ahab also made a sacred pole. Ahab did more to provoke the anger of the Lord and the God of Israel than all the kings of Israel who had been before him. In all his days, Heal, the Bethel built in Jericho, he laid its foundation at the cost of Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates at cost of his youngest son, Shechem, and according to the word of the Lord, which was spoke by Joshua, son of Nun. Wow. These are desperate times, and it's really, really difficult to know and understand, wow, how can I just learn from King Ahab, who sacrificed his two sons, his firstborn and his youngest son, and how he gave it up to worship these false idols and false gods of those days. And in desperate times, where do you turn to? Do you turn to God, Brooke? Or do you turn to yourself? Or do you turn to the world? Where do you turn to? So, stick to the very end, because we know that the Word of God is alive and living and able to transform your life and give you a formula and give you a direction in your life and also lift you up. Even though there's so much evil here, we can learn from it and also be able to redirect our steps, reevaluate our life to see, are we living in our evil ways and living for the world, living for ourselves, or are we living in a holy and righteous life for God Almighty? Right, Garrett? Amen. So, the reign of rebellion is shown here, and it's recorded most of Israel's kings that they followed after the ways of King Jeroboam, who was the first king of the northern kingdom. But Ahab, it is written that he considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, marrying Jezebel, the foreign wife who did not believe in the one true God and who worshipped foreign gods from Sidon and aggressively promoting the worship of Baal in the nation. And Ahab crossed a line that no king dared to cross before his time. And Ahab openly rebels against the Lord and leads the people of the Israelites to do the same. And before, they would not do that. Before, they worshipped God. That's why they were able to come out of Egypt, come out of slavery, come out of oppression. But even when those who oppress God seem to succeed in orchestrating the circumstances as they desire, God is not defeated by the dire status quo. While Israelite is at its darkest spiritually moment, he prepares a prophet to lead them back to him, which leads into our next chapter, which is Elijah. Have you ever heard of Elijah? Elijah is the one that really tried to point them back to the one true God. Elijah is the one that allows them to have an opportunity to repent. And Elijah's stories is one of the stories that really resonated in my heart. How God cared for him, how God led him, and how God was able to let him be that one prophet, righteous prophet, that still spoke God's name despite the fact that people were after his head. People were trying to stop him from growing. So, Elijah is amazing, amazing. So, and it's also talking about the witness of God's word. And we are one verse away from Israel's greatest prophet bursting into the scene out of nowhere to confront the wicked King Ahab. But in the meantime, God has not left his people without evidence of his sovereignty. He rebuilds Jericho in defiance of the divine decree given by Joshua, and the consequences were as predicted. He laid foundations at the cost of his firstborn and set the gates at the cost of his youngest son. And we may be tempted to think that God is inactive when those who are opposed to him and his rule seems to succeed in their rebellion. But if we pay attention to what God teaches, predicts, and warns about his word, we will find that God is in complete control over the course of history. So that's why we continue reading the word of God and continue studying his word. It's because God is in control no matter what. Even though evil entered into our country, into the United States of America, and they took God out of the school system, God out of the state, God out of the covenant, of the cabinet, of the military of the country, they tried to take God out. Yet, God is still in control. And God always saves, amen. And God is the one that can set you free. Free, not just from this physical life, but free from the second death. Your soul, you don't know where it's going unless you read the Word of God, and you understand that it's either going to heaven or hell. And there's only one way to heaven, and that's through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And all of us, we've sinned. And we've sinned, and we've done mistakes. And the wages of sin, the penalty of sin, is death. And that death is not just a physical death. That death is a separation from God. But God so loved the world that He sent His one and only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that's why we thank God for His love, for His provision, and for His just security that He has for each and every one of us. You see, God, He gave us the Holy Spirit to live in you. The Holy Spirit to empower you. The Holy Spirit to be your friend and to lead you in a life that is so difficult to live on your own. And that's why we praise God for the Holy Spirit. And as you allow the Holy Spirit to convert or to transform your life, guess what? You will start bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, gentleness. All these things are actually desired by so many people in the world. And that's why it's so important to recognize that you are not alone. And you're not meant to be living alone. You're meant to live in fellowship. You're not here by accident, Patricia. You're here because God allows us to plant the seeds of the gospel and for us to grow together and also say Jesus forever. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. So, there's a list of Ahab's wicked behavior, and his evil, degenerate life is sufficient to get an overview of what lies ahead in the story of his reign over the northern kingdom. And let's see what it is. The seven things. Evil reign of Ahab. A life of utter depravity and corruption. His background is that he was the son of Omri. He reigned for 22 years, and his evil, degenerate life. He did more evil than the rulers before him, and considered what King Jeroboam did was trivial. It was nothing. It was no biggie, worshipping false idols, erecting two golden calves, a light thing to sin. Even committed the sins of Jeroboam, and so he also married Jezebel, the priestess of the idol, and worshipped false gods like Baal. So he served and worshipped Baal and turned his people, Israelites, to also worship Baal. Then he even erected an altar for Baal, building a temple for this golden calf, this false idol, and erected an Asherah pole, a pole that it has the image of the goddess Asherah, and aroused God's anger more than all other rulers, and charged Hiel of Bethel to rebuild Jericho in defiance of Joshua's curse, and caused the death of Hiel's two sons. So, what can you learn from this? What can you learn from this big mistake that this king, Ahab, has done? Well, this is a picture of Ahab's reign of corruption and the depravity of human heart. And like Ahab, you have a choice to make in your life. You can either live a righteous or a wicked life. Sitting before you is the Lord Jesus Christ with His commandment that you either follow Him and obey His commandments, or you choose to walk through the life that you wish, breaking the commands of God and rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a choice. You have free will. And the best choice you can ever make is choosing a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, because He leads you to so many good places. He builds you up. He helps you physically, relationally, and spiritually. He helps you in all areas of your life when you start with Jesus first forever. Amen? And so whenever you set your heart and dedicate your course of action towards Him and focus your heart upon Jesus Christ, you will obey Him. You will study who He is through the Word of God in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because Jesus is the visible representation of the invisible God. Jesus is God in flesh, and He come from heaven to earth so that you may enter heaven, go from earth to heaven, and have an intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you focus your heart upon yourself and the world and its wickedness, you will follow the selfishness of your heart and the evil ways of the world, and your heart will never be satisfied, will be corrupt and depraved and be empty, and these horrible acts of lawlessness and violence will take place. So that's why it's so important that you turn your heart to Jesus and say, "Yes, Lord, you are my Lord, my Savior, and I will follow you all the days of my life," and say Jesus first forever. Jesus above all other relationship. Jesus above all other career. And Jesus will point me towards the right direction. And He will lead me away from the evil ways. And by the grace of God, my cup overflows in the name of Jesus. Amen, Garrett. Amen. God is good. So, we just look around the world at all the crime and hatred, the immorality and the acts of injustice that take place every day. But not only do they take place around the world, but they take place within our own neighborhoods, far too often within our own families. Pictures of depravity and corruption and pain and sadness of the heart of a parent who abuses a child, or either sexually, verbally, physically, or the heart of a husband who abuses a wife, or maybe even coworker just taking advantage of another coworker, or the anger or hostility or constant turmoil created between people in the home. You see, these are just a picture of the pain, the evilness that's happening in this world, how broken it is. The picture of murmuring, grumbling, and complaining that takes place in the workforce of societies every day. Think of that anger, that disturbed relationship that exists in factories, shops, businesses, the act of lawlessness. There's corruption and depravity in the heart of the human. And so, this is incomprehensible. But, you know, there's good news. Good news is that God, Jesus, He made a way to cure this depravity. He made a way to rid of this depravity. And that's called the mysteries of inequity. What did He do? He did something that no other man can do. He lived a perfect and sinless life that we could not live. He made no mistakes. He made no sin. And then He died on the cross, the death that we deserve, so that you may be forgiven, so that you may be set free from the bondage of sin, so that you may experience the freedom of living in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's through our Lord Jesus. Amen. The answer to corruption and depravity of the human heart, guys, the answer, and it's very important that you hear it, and it's important that you study it and dwell on it. The answer is our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the blood of Jesus Christ, who can cleanse the human heart, and we can be forgiven of our sin. Our guilt can be washed away, white as snow, and you can be made righteous in the name of Jesus. Then you can stand before God, guiltless. And He can say, "Good and faithful servant." He can say, "You are righteous. You are made holy. You are welcomed into the kingdom of heaven." Now you'd stand before God guiltless, free, and acceptable before Him. But God only accepts us if we come to Him through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And Jesus Christ, He is the substitute sacrifice who bore your sins upon the cross. And listen, listen to the Word of God. How what it says about corruption and depravity of the human heart. And about the wonderful cleansing power of our Lord Jesus Christ. First, we're going to be talking about the depravity of the heart, how corrupt it is. In Mark chapter 7, verse 21, "For from within, out of our heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murders, and adulteries." And then, Romans chapter 1, verse 20 to 25, it says, "For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because of that, when they knew God, they glorified him, not as God, nor were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God." God is uncorruptible, "into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, wherever God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen." Thanks for the subscribe, Northwest. Glory to God. You see, this is the depravity of our hearts. People are led astray by their own imagination and then start worshipping the creations instead of worshipping the Creator. They start worshipping the gifts that God's given us rather than worshipping the gifter, or the one that who gave the giver of the gifts. And so the human heart is corrupt. The human heart is blemished, is not pure. But by the grace of God, he made a way. And we're going to look at that in a while, okay? We're going to be looking into that. So, Genesis chapter 6, verse 12. "God looked at the earth, and behold, it was corrupted, for all the flesh has corrupted the ways upon the earth." Wow, this was before the flood of Noah. And so, he cleansed it, washed it white, and there was Noah, who was a righteous man, and he continued walking in the ways of the Lord. Psalms chapter 21, verse 1 says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be. They're gone, for the faithful disappeared among the sons of men." We can see how there was corruption and depravity of the human heart, but it can be cleansed through the blood of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you have a question, you can ask it. I can answer it at the end when I pray for everyone. Amen. So the corruption is, "For this is my blood of the New Testament. This is my blood of the New Covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sin." The good news is that you no longer have to live in regret, live in shame, live in fear. You no longer have to live that way, because our Lord Jesus Christ said, "This is my blood of the new covenant." You are living now in the new covenant with God, which is shed for many of the remission of sin, many of those who have sinned. Can you praise God and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for the price you paid for my sin, so that I can go into your presence. Thank you, Jesus." And say Jesus forever in your life. Type Jesus forever. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. Jesus is the one that saved us. And he's the one that shed his blood for us. Now this new covenant, guys, is a new covenant for the Gentiles, for the Jews, for those who believe in the name of Jesus. This new covenant is way better than the old covenant. You no longer have to be sacrificing animals at the temple in order to reach God. You no longer have to be going to the priest to be able to talk to God. You have direct access to our Heavenly Father. And you have access to him each and every day. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus forever. Amen. Kocho. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Romans chapter 5 verse 9 says, man, my nose is stuffy. I can just talk like this and just like that. And then Romans chapter 9 verse 5:9 says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Wow. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we are saved. What are you saved from? Are you saved from the world? Are you saved from yourself? It says you are saved from the wrath of God. Through Jesus Christ, you are saved. Amen. And that's why we say, we praise you, God, for you are good. You have saved us. You have shown us mercy. You have shown us grace. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, shall not experience the wrath of God, but have eternal life. We are justified by his blood. Amen. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. You see, God is a God of infinite grace, infinite riches of his grace. And by his grace, we are saved and we are given a new life. Now, you may feel like God has taken away someone you loved. God has taken away someone who is close to you. Someone who cares for you. And unfortunately, in this world, it's so broken. And you might be feeling, man, this is injustice. But in reality, it was our own sins that took us away. Away from this world. You see, the wages of sin is death. And all have sinned and fallen short of glory of God. And have penalty of sin, of death. Everyone's headed towards ruin and destruction because of our hearts, unpure. But by the grace of God, he said, you no longer have to die. You no longer die because I am the resurrection and the life. And when you follow Jesus, if Jesus is the king of your father's heart, if Jesus is the king of your heart, then death is not the end, but the beginning of eternity with Jesus Christ. Beginning of eternity in heaven, in a place with no more sorrow, no more pain, in a place where other believers are with. And you can talk with them, you can fellowship with them, and then you can be in a relationship with him. So praise the Lord. God loves you so much. And he gave you a chance to repent and to say yes to him. And yes to following him and walking in his ways. Amen. 1 Peter 2:24 says, and he himself bore our sin, and in his body on the cross, he bore our sin in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. For by his wounds you are healed. By his stripes you are healed. You no longer have to bear the punishment for your sin. Because Jesus, he bore that punishment on his own body, on that tree. When we were dead to sin, he still did so. But now, he did this so that you can be alive in righteousness and continue walking in his ways. Because by his stripes, by his wounds, you are healed. Amen. God is so good. And we walk in his ways. Because it is not by our own doing. Not by our own works, own money, own goodness, that we cannot save ourselves from sin. Sin is too powerful. Oh, man. Well, we'll do some pull-ups later, okay? Because we want to be healthy for God. We want to be healthy for God. And you see, I believe that Jesus is even more stronger. Because he was a carpenter. He traveled from city to city. And he traveled for miles upon miles. He was a really fit guy. That's why I have buffed Jesus everywhere. And so, I just praise God. Francisco says, Jesus, my Lord and my Savior, I believe. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. And we're teaching people to say yes to Jesus forever. Last of all, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And then next, we can answer some prayers, some questions, some concerns. And then, I can answer more application questions. So, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, For Christ has also once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust. And he brings us to God. He brings you to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, but made alive in the Spirit. Amen. He'd been put to death in the flesh. In the flesh, they tried to put him to death. But that flesh is only temporary. But he was quickened and made alive by the Spirit. Wow, Christ died for our sins, once and for all. And so, that's why we must continue praising him. Because by his stripes you are saved and you are made whole. Amen. So let me pray for us. And I can answer those questions. Lord God, I thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. As we continue having the opportunity to praise you. To walk in your ways. And to live a life that is glorifying to you. Lord God, we come before you because we know of the depravity and the sinfulness of the world. And that we need more of you because without you, we are nothing. Without you, we are lost. Without you, we are suffering. Suffering alone. But Lord, thank you so much for being the light of the world. For being our King. For being our Savior. For doing what you did on the cross so that we may live a life that is free in you. A life that is just claiming you as our Lord and Savior and receiving your gift of salvation, your gift of hope, and your gift of peace and joy and love, which so many people are longing for. Father God, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice may receive your protection, your provision, your healing, your wisdom, your understanding, knowledge, and discernment, that you may lead them and guide them and be with them in everything that they do as they go through their life. Lord, I pray your blessings upon my brothers and sisters, that you allow them to draw close to you as you draw close to them. Abide in you and abide in them. Lord God, for all those who want to turn to Jesus, Jesus is calling you. Pray this with me. Lord, I am broken, I'm hurting, and I'm just questioning life and questioning the things of the world and questioning why this, why that. But I know, Jesus, you're that Savior who can take away the pain and make things clear and answer my questions. So Jesus, come into my life today. As I commit my life 100% to you, to reading your word every day, to praying to you every day, and to building your kingdom as we follow after you. Lord, thank you for loving us and for being the good Father, for being merciful, for dying on the cross for us so that we may be saved. Thank you. And I accept you as my Lord and Savior, and I follow you. And dedicate my life to you. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. Type Jesus forever. Jesus forever. Amen. Amen. God is good. And he is so strong. Garrett. So, let's start with Muhammad. He said, actually, let's see what... Okay, yeah, let's start with Muhammad. Why did God take away my uncle? My uncle did nothing to God. Why would he take away my uncle when he was kind, gentle soul? Amen. Okay, so that's a good question. You see, everyone on earth, after what happened in the beginning, when he created Adam and Eve, when they ate from the tree of knowledge, the tree of forbidden, that was forbidden to be eaten. And then sin came into the world. You see your uncle as perfect, as someone who did nothing wrong. But all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And he has sinned. He has made mistakes. I'm not saying that God killed him or destroyed him, but I'm saying that because of the brokenness of the world and because of how life is temporary, eventually each and every one of us will die. And eventually, we will pass away. Our life on earth is like vapor. It's so short, and it determines where we end up for eternity, whether in heaven, in a relationship with God, or in a separation from God. And when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, then you will have and have a relationship with Him. Then you'll go to heaven. You'll go to heaven where God is. You'll be in a better place. Better place. But if you say no to Jesus, then you're not going to end up in a place where it's favorable. You're going to end up in a place of destruction and ruin, which is what the world is headed towards. And that's why it's so important to recognize that this life is short, it's temporary. And you might blame God for taking away your loved one, but that's not right. That's not right. Because life on earth is temporary. And God is not confined by time. Your uncle still lives. But I don't know if he was a Christian or not. If he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. But if he did, then you know for sure that he will be in heaven. And he's waiting for you as well. And that he'll be there. And you'll be able to talk with him. Walk with him. And spend time with him. Rest assured. That's the believer's hope. In Christ alone forever. Amen. Amen. Mundo. Mundo says, hi. Garrett says, can we pray for my girlfriend? Yeah, we can. Lord, I pray for Garrett's girlfriend, for his relationship, that you would give him wisdom, understanding, knowledge, that you would allow him to be a man of God, young man of God, that you allow him to walk in your ways and be a light for you, to his girlfriend and to those around him. Lord God, I pray that you give him that wisdom, that guidance, Lord God, because life is not meant to live alone, but to live upon your word and your command. Lord, give them wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Action Figure Club says, amen, amen. Glory to God. Well, I'll pray for your thing. Lord God, I pray for Mundo Mumbo, that he would live a righteous life, that a heart that's after your own heart, that he would live a life breaking away from addictions, breaking away from the things that are holding him down, breaking away from the lies of the devil, from the things of the world that's only temporary, that you would allow him to draw closer to you, to know who you are, and to worship you all the days of his life. Lord, enter his life so that you may transform it and heal him, because you are the great physician. You're able to heal and heal all things, because you heal the blind, let them see. You drove out the demons. You healed the lame man. Let him walk. You healed so many people. And you healed me too. So Lord, I know you're able to do abundantly more, exceedingly above all things that we can ever imagine or think or ask. So Lord, let it be your will that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hello, if Jesus is God, show one verse. Where Jesus says, I am God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus, in fact, he was stoned by the Jewish people, by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they say he blasphemed. And they say he claims to be God. And that's why they try to kill him. And so, that's why Jesus, he is God. Another is John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God. The Word was God. And He was God with God in the beginning. So Jesus is God. Jesus is God. And so, amen. Thank you for the question. So, we know, now we have another question about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. And that question is three beings in one. And the best way to put it in, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's three beings in one because your mind is so limited and you cannot understand and fathom who our God is. Except to put Him in these three beings. For example, you think about water. Okay? It's liquid water. Water. Yes, it is. It's gas. Water. Yes, it is. It's ice. Water. Yes, it is. It's three beings, three forms of water. But it's all water. Just like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's how the Trinity works. Three beings in one. Because they're one. It's one. There's only one God. Good question. Haha. Glory to God. Jesus forever. Garrett. Amen. Garrett says, Hey, Pastor Josh. I really need a friend who will lead me right. You know, that friend is the Holy Spirit Himself. That who is God Himself. And He's written the Word of God. You might as well start from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospel, the New Testament. Learn about who God is. Allow Him to transform your heart. Let Him be your friend. Let Him help you choose or bring the right friends to you. Maybe you need to join a youth group, which brings people to a relationship with God. And maybe there you will find a friend that loves God and that will also lead you towards the right direction. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can I give you my number? No, you cannot. Thank you. I mean, if you have my number, nah, I think it's too much. How old are you, Garrett? Anyways, glory to God. Okay, so there's four application questions. Number one, how would you describe the spiritual context of your community? You see, you're not meant to live alone. You're not meant to live in isolation. You're meant to live in community. And community is the opposite of isolation. You're meant to live in fellowship. In relationship with God. And so, that is why community is so important. So how would you describe the spiritual context of your community? You see, my community is very strong and on fire for the Lord. My community is within the Kingdom Accelerated program, which they love the Lord, Bible centered, and just on fire for the Lord. My community and my church, they also surrounded by people who love the Lord, who walk in His ways. And then there's also community, the Horizon Ministry. We do summer retreat together. And so, man, they love the Lord too. So I'm just praising God. Francisco, I subscribed today, Pastor. Thank you for your channel. Hey, thank you. Oh, yeah. Thank you guys for the like, the subscribe, for the follow. Yeah, all glory to God. We are advancing the kingdom of God and having this Jesus forever movement. And so we glorify God each and every day. And so this movement is to encourage people to say Jesus first forever. Amen. So glory to God. You're 15, Garrett. Where do you live? But yeah, I'm in California right now. I'm in Santa Clara. And my church is in Fremont. So, you know, I have youth as well. I have a lot of youth in my church. So, we've been on fire for God, been serving the Lord, and also able to just worship and glorify Him. So many people are impacted just by my youth group. Only like 10 to 15 people, like maybe 20 people, okay, 20 youth. And we train students to be Christian club leaders in their own school. So, glory to God. I know that God can add to you. And plus, Garrett, I go live stream every day. You're not at a school right now? You're not. Are you homeschooled? Maybe. So, how has God, number two, how has God shown you that He is at work in this context? Wow. God showed me He's at work in this context because I know that I'm growing. I know that others around me, they're growing. I know they're building their life upon the firm foundation of Christ. And I glorify God for that. Amen. So God has shown me that He's at work through the fruits of the ministry. How people are able to receive the word of God and also grow in Christ through the works of the ministry. And then individually, wow, so many people who are on fire for the Lord. You say Missouri, wow, cool, very cool. Number three, how strong is your confidence that God is actively working in the world today? Well, I know that God is in control. He is always in control. Never is He out of control. Our God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-sufficient. He's all-present and all-wealthy and powerful. So that we are going to be walking in the ways of our Lord, our God Himself. And so we can praise Him every single day. And then just make God the center of our life. And I know that this one person is trying to troll me, but by the grace of God, He is more powerful and God is more alive than ever before. And so we confidently say God is at work and God is the only one who can satisfy your heart. Amen. I'm in school, but Jesus is more important. Well, Jesus is more important. And sad thing is that a lot of schools took Jesus outside of their school system. They said, we're not going to do the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America anymore. For which stand one nation under God, indivisible, for justice and liberty for all. What if people were to recite that each and every day? We are indivisible, under God, for justice and liberty for all. No longer is our school system teaching people to live for God, to live indivisible, but in division, to live under God and for justice and liberty for all. No longer are we seeing justice. No longer are we seeing liberty. We're seeing oppression. We're seeing injustice. We're seeing corruption. And that's because God was taken out of the school, of the state, of the country, of the government. And then, how do current world events match with what the scripture foretold? Wow. Jesus said, do not be alarmed, for this is going to happen. It's going to be happening before I come. Do not be afraid. Do not be caught off guard. Because one day there's going to be war and rumors of war. One day there's going to be pesticides like COVID. There's going to be corruption. There's going to be greed. There's going to be many, many, many bad things that's going to happen. And it's happening before our eyes. The biblical prophecies that Jesus spoke of Himself, everything He says is going to happen. And so that is why it's so important that we continue walking in His ways. So important that we give Him all glory. So important that we build our life upon His firm foundation. Amen. We're not afraid. We're not caught off guard. Hello, hello. Cute cat. Amen. What times do you stream each day? Because I want to watch your stream each day. You made my whole day better. Hey, glory to God. I don't have a set time. I wish I did. But right now, I'm just going live stream before my meeting, staff meeting, and then I'm going to be really, really busy. But by the grace of God, my recordings, live recordings, are actually on YouTube. So you can check that out. But yeah, I try to come. I'll try to come on earlier more in the morning. But sometimes I do it in afternoons or evenings, just like depending on my schedule, because schedule is whack. It's crazy. It's so hard. So hard to be consistent. But I'm still working on that consistency. So thank you so much for asking. And let me welcome everyone. Welcome everyone. Yeah, I'm glad your day is made better. By the grace of God, our Lord, our Savior, we can only give glory to God because I am nothing but a messenger. I'm nothing but a servant of God, an ambassador. So that's all I'm here to do, to spread the word of God, to plant the seeds of the gospel and save more souls so that they may say yes to Jesus forever. Amen. Glory to God. So we're still working on the set, but you know, God is still working. He's still improving the things around us. So, glory to God. And may God be with you, watch over you, encourage you, lead you, build you up, because He's got good plans. Amen and amen. Wow.
That's cool. That light shows it's on.
It shows it's on. Ha ha ha. So, today, staff meeting, make more videos, be disciplined. Yeah, get my things together, and then plan for Friday Night Youth. Yeah, a lot of things going on. But all glory to God. I'm so glad that we're able to walk this journey together. So may God bless you. May He be with you. And may He be your Lord, your Savior. Yeah, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. I look forward to seeing you guys again next time. Yeah, Garrett, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, wow, there's 13 people still. Let me check. How are we doing, guys? How are we doing? Hey, I love you too. I love you too, Joanne. Really, really. Johnny. Amen, amen. Okay. Well, let me see. Actually, I can just stay on for a bit more longer. But whatever you need, let me know. We can chat. We can walk in His ways. Right now. Oh, yeah. Normally, I do pull-ups. Pull-ups, right? Yes. Let me do the pull-ups. Let's do the pull-ups. And then, just to encourage you, you want to be spiritually strong, physically healthy, financially well. The SPF. Because if you're missing one of two, then things are going to be much harder. And so that's why it's so important to work on it. Work on your health. Work on everything that God has given you. And not take it for granted. Because your body is a holy temple of the holy temple of the Spirit. Let's do it. You can count. SPF, spiritual, physical, financial. Without spiritual and physical, if you have finance, you're just gonna splurge it. You're just gonna lose it at the end. Without physical, financial, and you only have spiritual, then you're gonna be sick. You're gonna be broke. You're gonna be just suffering. Without, and if you only have physical, but no finance, no spiritual, then it's gonna be so easy to walk down the path of unrighteousness. No guidance. That spiritual really guides you in your life. Amen. You do 50 every day. Wow. That's awesome. Keep it up. You must be strong. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you love the videos. You drink your whole bottle in one big drink of bottle. You want me to drink my bottle of water? Drinking. Oh, man. I'm checking. Water is good for you. Stay hydrated. Eat healthy. Exercise. I can't chug it. Wow. Yeah, I think that was 17. I'm trying to get to 20 right now. But, you know, I haven't been able to exercise as much as I would have liked. But, I gotta get my stuff together. Gotta sleep better and stuff. And how do you sleep better? Oh, I gotta get my stuff together, guys. I'm just human. But by the grace of God, we know that He still is working on us and transform us. Do you believe that video games are bad for Christians? Good question. I don't think... Okay. Really? Anything to moderation? Above moderation, like if you're addicted to video games and you're spending all your time and energy on video game and your video game just stops you from going to church, stops you from reading the Bible, stops you from learning about God, then yes, you betcha, I've been there before. I gamed, I played League of Legends, Diamond 3 for 3 seasons, got to the top at Clash Royale, had a clan with everyone active, 50 people active, all above 6,000 trophies or rank thingy. And then I got to the top in many different games. But all these games, they are temporary. They are temporary. The only game that is eternal is the game of ministry. And that's the game I'm playing now. And the goal here is to save more souls and to plant the seeds of the gospel so that they will say yes to Jesus forever. And so I hope that you are being developed in your games, but that you are not letting your game control you. Instead, you are in control of your game. You're in control of your life. Not let your sin or addiction be in control of you, but instead, letting God be in control of you. Amen? Rip, good question. So, I love games. I love it. I do. But we never want to let it be above God. We want to put Jesus first forever. And then everything else, we enjoy it. We enjoy it. So, good question. Garrett says, I got to go. But I wish you an amazing day. May God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Garrett. And same to you. Thank you so much for your questions. And yes, I would have loved your contact, but send it to me. Send me a message. Instagram, Facebook. You're able to send it. Yeah, I'm not that far away. But on YouTube, I don't know. I don't think you can send messages. So, yeah. Good. Great. I believe that God really worked. It's working in this place. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for your prayers. Glory to God. Okay, well, may God bless you and be with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Big smile for the day. Have a great one.